Good to be in the house this morning, amen? Amen. I'm thrilled to be in southeast Georgia. And I have enjoyed my time here just at the beginning, and I'm looking forward anticipating the Lord moving in this place. How many enjoyed that Holy Ghost-filled worship? And give the Lord a hand right there. Now, I don't want you to take this wrong. I'm a traveling evangelist. I'm going to get right to the text. And if you were in your shoes, you'd say, man, you better hurry, preacher. Smile real quick. But anyhow, I'll say this and then I'll preach. I've been in some places, Brother Keith, that, and I'm not a singer, so you won't get offended, but I've been in some places I'd be the highlight of the song service. You're in trouble, I'm telling you. But it is so good to be at a place that just worships and adores the Lord. I love Brother Keith and Sister Cindy and their family. It has been a while since I've been here, but I am absolutely thrilled and excited about what the Lord's going to do. Do me a favor, turn to Romans chapter 6. While you find in Romans chapter 6, find Galatians chapter 3. When you find Galatians chapter 3, find 1 Peter chapter 2. And some of you have gotten really nervous. That's three different texts. They all say about the same thing, but they highlight some things that I want to address to this audience. And I'll find them with you. I'll go first to Romans chapter 6. When you get to verse 23, shout amen. Amen. Romans 6, verse 23. Then we'll go to Galatians 3 and verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Let's find the first one. If you found the first one, would you stand with me, reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift, somebody say gift. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Galatians now, Galatians chapter 3. I'll find it with you. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Galatians 3, 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Somebody say tree. Tree. Now go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, I'll have to find it with you so you've got time. 1 Peter chapter 2. That one little verse, verse 24, 1 Peter 2, 24. Who his own self, that's interesting, bare our sins in his own body, here's that word again, on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Father, I thank you today for the reading of the Word of God. Thank you for the anointed Holy Ghost singing that we've already felt and we've already experienced. God, I pray that we would focus on the text and not on the time. God, that we would just allow your power to penetrate our hearts and our lives. If there's anybody today that is lost, let this be the hour, the day that they make a decision for Christ. Save a man, save some woman. Do that, God, that only you can do. Move among us and we'll be careful to give you praise. In Jesus' name, everybody said, you may be seated. If you like to jot down notes, so that the man of God cannot come back next year and preach his same sermon, You laugh, but that happens every week. Then jot this down on a piece of paper. The gift is hanging on the tree. I got to hit the rewind button one more time. The gift is hanging on the tree. I done a little research about Christmas trees. How many know just a little bit over a month ago we celebrated Christmas. We gathered around a Christmas tree and exchanged gifts. Would you agree with me, Daddy and Mama, that you bought your children some gifts? That when they opened it, they act thrilled and excited. Within 30 minutes of that opening the gift, they threw that gift on the couch and acted like, who cares about that? Now, I know y'all's looking at me now, but would you agree with me? We've got a gift today that is better than an Xbox, better than a PlayStation, better than a new car, better than a new home, better than anything you'll ever get in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is the gift. Now, here's where I'm going. In the state of Idaho, they boast in the Christmas season of having the tallest Christmas tree. Brother Keith, it stands at 161 feet tall. They say tallest Christmas tree. In the Rockefeller Center in New York City, they had a tree that stood 74 feet tall. They had 30,000 lights. Utah said, we can do better. How many know there's always somebody can do better? Utah said, we can do better than that. Our tree's 48 feet tall. We don't have 30,000 lights. We've got 98,000 LED lights. They said they had the brightest Christmas tree. Then in the Middle East, in an emirate palace, in a luxury hotel, the tree was 46 feet tall. They said it didn't cost much, only cost $10,000. I guess their ideal of not costing much and my ideal is two different things. But here's what they said. They said they had on that tree $11 million. Worth of jewels, diamonds, and sapphires. They said they had the most expensive tree. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you today, at Zion Hill, I didn't come to talk to you about a Christmas tree. I come today to talk about Calvary's tree. I didn't come today to talk about what's under the tree. I come today to talk to you about what hung on the tree. Ladies and gentlemen, can I just throw out for free? Do you agree with the man of God that the tallest tree there ever was outside the city walls of Jerusalem? That tree, the Romans made a torture, an engine of torture called the cross. And there Jesus Christ, the most significant event in all of history. Would you agree with me? It is the tallest tree. Then I can tell you in hurrying, it's the brightest tree. The light shined out of darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I don't know how y'all can stay so calm. You say, what does that mean, man of God? Here's what it means. There's not a darkness in your life. There's not a darkness in your wife's life. There's not a darkness in your family's life that the light of heaven cannot penetrate. God's light can penetrate the darkness. So, the tallest, the brightest, and the most expensive. Here's what I want to tell you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've walked in today and you're living in sin, you're walking contrary to the will of God, you listen to the man of God, you can look to the tree and live. You can put your faith in the tree and the death that he died on that tree and live. If you agree with that, shout amen. Now here's where I'm going. I cannot believe how fast I'm preaching. I appreciate y'all helped me already. I feel better about this whole sermon. Every man is a sinner. Every lady is a sinner. All have fallen short of the glory of God. And would you agree that if we think about that tree, Pastor, on this morning, the foot of that tree, Brother Keith Lloyd, pointed to the hell below. The top of that tree pointed to the heaven above. The arms, Timmy, of that tree pointed to the world around. Now listen to this. That was going to the hell below. But he got in between. My God, if I wasn't so dignified, I'd shout right there. He got in between heaven and earth so that I don't have to go to the hell below, so that I don't have to spend eternity lost without God. Is anybody glad on a Sunday morning? Christ Jesus is the gift to all mankind. Here's point one. I want y'all to jot this down because you need it. Here's the point I want to give you. The penalty of that tree. Jot it down. The penalty of that tree. Now, I will be brief. I know that lunch is in the middle of the day. Some of y'all look hungry. So here's what I'll do. The penalty of that tree. Cursed is the man, Scripture says, that hangs upon a tree. The wrath of a righteous God, the judgment of an eternal God was placed upon the lovely Lord Jesus. Now, the Bible said in the Old Testament, Moses wrote, he said, cursed is the man that hangeth on a tree. Then he says, Brother Keith, in my text this morning, Paul said, it's been written. It is written. Can I put the jelly on the bottom shelf? Now this is real deep. I need you to listen. Here's what Paul said. It's already been talked about. Oh, y'all was looking for a deep truth right there, wasn't you? It's already been talked about. Cursed is the man that hangeth upon a tree. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a society, and the Bible said that the curse was based upon the law, and we are under the curse. Would you agree with me? At Zion Hill, we could not keep the law. We fell woefully short. You say, Brother Derek, what are you talking about? Well, we couldn't measure up. Do you say, well, and boy, could I not chase a rabbit right there? We do not measure up. But here's what I'll say. Christ, the Bible said, knew no sin. Let me put it a little further. The Bible said, neither did he. He never done any evil. If he never committed sin, we have to say he never done evil. Would you agree if he never committed sin, his tongue never uttered a wrong word? If he never did evil, and he never did, his feet never walked a wayward path. Would you agree with the man of God? His hands never touched something that they should not have touched. Derek Stennett, what do you call that? Look up here so I can tell you. Holy. Harmless. Undefiled. Ladies and gentlemen, there was no sin in him. But here is where preaching gets good. He's the holy. He's the sinless Son of the living God. And the curse is based on the law. The Bible said he bore the curse. The condemnation was placed upon the Lord. Now, he did no sin. He didn't commit sin, but God placed sin upon him. Scripture said in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I'm about to get blessed by my own the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth. Hold up. He was co-equal, co-eternal, co-existent. Derek Extended explained that to me. This is the best I got. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, became obedient even to the death of the cross. Would you agree with the man of God? He did what nobody else could do. Hallelujah. Now I'm hurrying, and you say, Derek, why do you say that? It makes folks feel better. I don't know why. It's an amazing thing. I've been preaching since I was 13, and if I tell them I'm hurrying, they just go, I mean, they just feel better. It don't really mean much, but they feel better. You'll learn that by the end of the week, and some of you, it won't take you that long, but listen to me. And here's the thing I want to show you. He was made, listen, for he knew no sin. Pastor Keith, he was made to be sin. Now listen, and watch this line. The Bible said in Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Let's talk about that word made. He was made of a woman, made under the law. Now hear this, made to sin that we might be made the righteousness. My God, I'm telling you, if I was at home, somebody would wave a hanky right there. I'm telling you, made righteousness, and listen to this. I said, well, God, how could I make that plain? He said, Derek, listen. He said, you can be made in the righteousness of God if you put your faith in what I did on that tree. Now, if you agree with that, shout a big amen. Amen. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. In North Creek Shoal, let me just get off that. It's a long word, but it was in Northeast Alabama. A daddy and a son was in a home, and the storm began to blow. The daddy knew it was bad. The daddy knew it was getting out of hand. Matter of fact, Timmy, the building was breathing. It looked like the walls was kind of breathing. The daddy knew he didn't have long, and him and his son were there. The building, the stuff started flying around, and the daddy knew that they were in their last moments. And the daddy literally, Keith Lloyd, dove over his son. And when he dove over his boy, the wall fell on the daddy. The daddy died, and the son lived. And everybody look up here so I can help you. The daddy took the blow. Can I tell you, on a hill outside the city walls of Jerusalem, they nailed spikes in his hands and feet. They crammed a crown of thorns upon his head. They beat his back and his body beyond recognition. Man of God, what are you telling me? He took the blow for Keith Lloyd. He took the blow for Timmy. My God, he took the blow for a bald-headed boy from West Fork, Arkansas. Is anybody glad? He took the blow for you and I. Hallelujah. Now, I'm trying to stay calm because I don't want to ruin my reputation. You say, Derek, are you moving along? You can't believe how fast I'm moving. But you hear this, it pleased the Father to bruise him. Can I go ahead and tell you, sometimes alone in my study, I read that line, it pleased the Father to bruise him. And I'm going to tell you something, I become a basket case. It pleased him to bruise him so that I could have life and that I could have that gift, Christ Jesus. Now, we quote that scripture, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Can I put that in Millwood talk? For God so loved the world that he gave. This is deep. You might ought to jot it down. God so loved the world, he did something about it. Oh, Brother Derek, I wish you'd throw out something deep. That's as deep as I got. He did something about it. So I talked to you for 5 minutes. Don't amen. I talked to you for a minute about the penalty of the tree. Number two, jot this down and I'm going to preach to you for a few minutes here. Number two, the purchase. Somebody say purchase. The purchase accomplished by this tree. The Bible said Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, can I go ahead and get real with you? Have you ever heard this? Probably in Georgia.
I know it happens in Arkansas. This is our bunch up there. Well, you know, Brother Derek, I'm going to go to heaven because I'm a good man. I hate to shock you, partner. You ain't going to heaven because you're good. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. If you don't put your faith and trust in what he did on the tree, you might hand me a $100 bill and hug my neck. You ain't going to heaven because you done that. And you say, well, Brother Derek, I'm a good old boy. Well, hold up. Let's talk about it. I said, God, how could I make this plain? And here's how they are up home, Brother Keith. Well, you know, Brother Derek, I got pedigree. Whoop-dee-doo. I am a man of authority. You know I'm a vice president. Well, holy cow. Ladies and gentlemen, whether you're rich or poor, whether you live on the north side of the tracks or the south side of the tracks, no matter what you are or who you are or what your last name is, ladies and gentlemen, you're not redeemed with silver and gold. You're not redeemed by what you've done. You are redeemed when you put your faith in what he did on Calvary's tree. Now let me say this. I got to hurry just a tad. I'll get caught away and lose my train of thought. When I was a little boy, I'd go to my pawpaws. And Brother Keith, I'm going to use the pulpit as a fence post. When I was a little boy, do y'all like turtles? Not snapping turtles. Them little old turtles. They crawl across the street and you put them in, you know, when you was a little boy, you put them in that little box and you put lettuce in it and they don't eat one bite of it. Come on, don't y'all sit up there and act like y'all ain't got a clue. Y'all done it right here in Georgia. I'm telling you, we do that at home. And man, they don't eat a bite. They don't drink a drop. And I'm telling you, you're torturing that turtle. I feel sorry for that turtle. And finally, you let it go. And he's slow as, but he's running as fast as he can to get away from you. But when I was a little boy, I loved turtles. And one day, Pastor, I came to a fence post. And there was a turtle on top of that fence post. Now, if you've got visions of that little turtle shimmying up that, you're crippled too high for crutches to help. Jot that one down, men. You'll need to remember that. Some of y'all get that driving home, I'm telling you. You're crippled too high for, but I'm telling you right now, here that little turtle is on that fence post, 5 feet, 4 feet off the ground. Would you agree with the man of God? It didn't get there on its own. Somebody found it in a low position and reached way. My God, I don't know how you, way, way down. And lifted that little turtle and put him on a higher plane, a plane that he had never been before. Brother Derek explained that to me. I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to him I now reside. I have been redeemed. He lifted me up. If you're going to be saved today, he'll do the lifting. If you're going to be changed today, he will do the changing. My God, I'm telling you right now, I'm getting blessed. Here's my sermon. God's concept that is revealed, claim results. January 1863, he issued an executive order. We called it the Emancipation Proclamation. He signed by decree and liberated 3.1 million slaves, Brother Keith. It was years later before it happened, but when he signed it on the parchment, they were free. Do you agree with the man of God? You and I are not free by what was written on a parchment. You and I are free by what a man did on a tree. The blood that was shed down that wooden tree is our redemptive story. And if you agree with that, shout a big amen. Know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Know ye not you've been bought with a price? Ladies and gentlemen, we are not redeemed with silver and gold. No wonder Peter called it precious blood. Now, I would celebrate for 30 minutes, but do you agree? Heaven had a gift to give. Heaven had a gift to give. And he gave us the divine Son of the living God. Here's number three. Boy, Brother Derek, I don't think I've ever heard you preach any faster. I ain't either, I'm telling you. I'm going to go ahead and write this as it's a mind-boggling event. The penalty of that tree, the purchase accomplished by the tree. Here's where I close. The paradox attached to this tree. Now, I'm from Arkansas, you're from Georgia. Now, we can all sit up here and act educated. But I'm going to be honest, paradox, we got to think about that one. Now, I'm looking at it, y'all, and some of y'all are like, yeah, I know what a paradox is. Hallelujah. Just talk to me, Derek. Well, I'll talk to you after church. Maybe you can break it down for me. Pastor Keith, the paradox looks to be a contradiction. How can a man die and save lives? But that's exactly what he did. How can a man be beaten and take pain and give me healing? How, Pastor, can he hurt and I get healed? Watch this one. How does he face the darkest hour in his life and I get freedom? Hold up. I'll stay calm. I promise. How does he take the heel of Horus and it be transformed into the heel whence cometh my help? It's a paradox. Hold up. Whoa! Why did you shout? Hold up. Whoa! I shouted on both sides. I can call my wife when I get in the car and tell her they were shouting on both sides of the building. I just don't have to tell her it was me. Honey, you wouldn't believe that place. I'm telling you, it was on this morning. You listen. Pastor Keith, here's what I'll say. I'll tell a story. I'm going to tell two quick stories and I'm done. How? I call it, Pastor, the great exchange. He dies, I live. In the economy of God, I have to realize that only God could come up with... You know, I believe Keith is smart. I believe he's educated. And matter of fact, I'm going to pick his brain this week. But I'm telling you, Keith Lloyd, and this... Frizzle Frazzle evangelist couldn't come up with a plan like that. And before you get so prideful and think you could, bless God, you couldn't thought it up either. Only God could give us the great exchange. The year was 1981, Timmy, in the Palmer Woods outside of San Diego. A little 7-year-old boy named Jimmy got lost in the woods. Large camping ground outside of San Diego. Lost in the woods. Sister Cindy, 4 days later, they found the little boy dead to exposure to the cold. It so moved the rescue workers that they went into schools and little grade schools and told little boys and little girls what to do if they got lost in the woods. Now, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to go ahead and give you a shouting alert. This is shouting material. And they went and said, we've got to simplify it so little boys and little girls will know what to do if they're lost in the woods. One man said, well, let's tell them this. They said, let's make it a simple sentence. They began to roll around and they talked like this. Their first sentence was this. Don't run. Don't try and search for help. And then they said, We'll say that. We'll say, don't run. Don't search for help. And then the line that we'll use the most is this. Watch this. If you get lost in the woods, hug a tree. And if you hold it long enough, help will come. Hold up before we shout. Hold up. The year was 1987. A little boy named Stinnett in a little Free Will Baptist church in revival was on the back row. I was lost. I was on my way to hell. I was going wayward, backward, devilward. Y'all hear me? Walking contrary to the will of God. And all of a sudden the Holy Ghost arrested my heart and said, go down to that tree and just hold on. And you say, what did you do? Hold up. I walked down the aisle of that church. I got a hold of that tree. You said, what happened when you tapped in? My God, you need to hear it. When I held on to the tree, I saw him bleeding for me. I saw him dying for me. I saw him doing for me what nobody else on the planet could do. And all of a sudden, help came from the glory world. Ah, and lifted me up and set my feet on a rock. Does anybody understand? And saved my life forever. Derek Stinnett, do you got anything else? I hear whether you believe this or not, I could go another hour. Some of y'all said, oh, Lord, help us. I won't do that. If you ask me after church, I'll tell you something else. But right now, I'll close. I'm closing. Matter of fact, I want the piano player to come or how y'all do this. And I want y'all musicians to listen to me. Now, I don't want you to get this wrong. Don't get mad at me. But I've always done this. I made it a policy my whole ministry. If there's a musician in this crowd, whether it's the piano player or the singer, I hope you don't think I'm picking any of y'all that's on this stage that helps in the altar call. If you feel like you need to use the altar, would anybody agree the altar is more important than playing or singing? So I just word it like that. I do that. I do it all the time. But listen, I'm closing. I went to Wichita Falls, Texas, Pastor Keith. I went there, and there's a man that's 6'6". Timmy, how tall are you? You bother me. I've always wanted to be big. Somebody say amen right there. You know, I mean, when you're 5'10" and you got to stretch out to be 5'10". And he's a whole blessed foot taller than me. He just thinks he's bad. I don't tell you something, I got to get off that. I love you. Here's what I'll tell you. I went, and this pastor, 6'6", big fella. He had a guy in his church that was battling sin. Now, can I throw this out to everybody, and I want you to hear me. It's not only sinners that battle sin. Amen. We've got church folks battling sin.
That's right.
Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you hope, because I'll just tell you from experience. Church people are hard on people that sin. Amen. Anyhow, and he told me, he said, Derek, I had a man that just recently got saved. He said, I told him this. I said, now if you ever battle the man, he told me, he said, Derek, I won't tell you nothing about him. He said, but I'll tell you this. He said, I told him if when he was lost, he battled pornography. And I told him, I said, now if you ever battle pornography again, he said, here's what I want you to say. I've used this all over the country. He said, I want you to tell God and I want you to tell the devil. I'm praying you never battle it again. But that ain't life. He said, but if you do battle it again, here's what I want you to say. Say, I'm the righteousness of God. I'm the redeemed of the Lord. I am God's son. He said, I went. He said, Derek, that man of mine that was battling pornography went, turned on the computer, Keith Lloyd, he was one mouse click from exposing himself to something he has no business looking at. And he said, I remember what the man of God told me. And he said, I said this, I'm the righteousness of God. Hold up. Whoa! I'm the redeemed of the Lord. And he said, I can't explain it. But he said, a hand reached down from the glory world and took my hand, and I turned the computer off. And he said, I backed away, and I said, I am the righteousness of God. Listen to me. Whether you're a sinner or a saint, there's victory over sin in Christ. Amen. Stand all over the room, please. The penalty, the purchase, the paradox. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I promise I'll do this very carefully and intently. I do know the Holy Ghost has walked up and down this place. He's been in this building. There is no doubt. When I heard the singing, I knew it was going to be on. Everything God has absolutely orchestrated. But would you bow your heads? And this kind sister is going to play softly. And I'm going to ask you a few questions. Derek Stennett, I'm condemned. I'm living in sin. And if I died right now, Derek Stennett, I'm a good old boy. I'm a good girl. But I'm messed up. There's really never been a day in my life, Derek, when old things passed away. And behold, all things became new. I'm telling you, Derek, there's never been a moment where Christ became Lord. Oh, I prayed a prayer at youth camp. Oh, Derek, I prayed a prayer in a revival 20 years ago, 5 years ago, but I never experienced the change. I'm not trying to make you doubt your salvation. I'm going to tell you something, sir. I'm going to tell you something, ma'am. You will know that you are saved. You will know that you are God's kid. You say, Derek, I'm here today, and I need help. And preacher, I'm telling you, if I died right now, I'm not ready. If that would be you, sir, ma'am, young man, young lady, how many honest hands? Real quick, I will not embarrass you. I'll just say thank you, and you can put it right back down. I'm going to give you a minute. Derek, I'm lost on a Sunday morning, and I know it. Anybody? Real quick. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. There's three hands that said they were lost. I'm going to make this simple, I promise. Hey, Derek, I'm a Christian. Derek, I love God, but I'm battling something. Hey, listen, you ain't got to tell me. Hey, listen, I live in this same world. I preach every night of my life. And if you think I'm a hero, just sit down with me today and talk to me. I love God, but I'm going to tell you something, friend. I live in the real world, and there is an enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He attacks our homes. He attacks us. He attacks you. You say, boy, preacher, I'm battling a sin. I'm battling a weakness. That'd be you. How many honest hands? Real quick. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you, son. Bless you, sweet lady. Here's what I want to do. Now, if you raise your hand, I'm going to tell you, and you want to come, the gift is hanging on the tree, and you raised your hand that you needed help. I want you to get out your seat and meet me around the altar. Come right now. Come on, young man. Come on, young lady. Come on, papa. Come on, mama. You won't be by yourself. Just get up out your seat and come to Calvary. The gift is hanging on the tree. You come. There's more. I'm not going to beg you. I can't save you. I can't change you, but he can. Do you need to come? That's the invitation. They'll lead us now. If you need to come, come.